This morning's message comes from some comments that our Lord made in Matthew chapter 23. I have entitled it, The Hallmarks of Phony Religion. Now, there's a difference between phony religion and false religion. See, false religion is simply that. It's false. A person may be very sincere in a false religion, but it's still a false religion. He may be true to his religion, but it's still a false religion. For a false religion is a religion that worships a false god or worships the true God in a false way. But a phony religion is an insincere religion. What I'm speaking of here and what our Lord was talking about here is the worship of the true God according to orthodox doctrine and forms, but it's not from the heart. It is insincere, hypocritical, designed to promote the glory of the worshiper and not the glory of the God who is worshiped. Now, today we're going to be talking about phony religion and showing the hallmarks of it. Such a message is most needful for an area such as you and I live in, an area that is so very religious. There is hardly anyone in Northwest Iowa that would not confess to being a Christian. And in particular, in the few counties surrounding us here in Sioux County, there are many who are, outwardly speaking, seem to be very devoted to their religion. And seeing that the Reformed faith dominates the area, it comes with good creeds. It comes with sound doctrine. Consequently, we're not talking so much about false religion as phony religion. And so it's good for us to examine ourselves to see whether we be of this phony sort of religion that has the right doctrine, that has the right forms and practices, but there's nothing of heart in it. You see, Satan is a great deceiver. When one form of deception does not work, he merely moves to a different form of deception. If he's unable to deceive a person into false religion, he will lead them in to phony religion. That is, if he can't make you worship a false god, then he'll get you to worship God insincerely. Not from the heart. And the most difficult part of this is that the phony religionist can go to the Bible to support much of what he does. When our Lord here in Matthew 23 warned his disciples of these phony religionists, nearly everyone thought that these religionists were the real deal. The Pharisees, the experts in the law, why they were the conservatives of their day. They were the ones who were holding carefully to the traditions of the scriptures and of the fathers. So it's hard to identify these people because they can say, well, the Bible says thus and so. So the Lord gives us the side effects of such phony religion. The things that will let us know that no matter what a person is saying, there's nothing real on the inside. Now, why would the Lord take the time to point out to us the errors of other people? Normally, the Lord's words were very pointed and directed right at the people to whom he was talking. But in this case, he's talking to one class of people, the disciples and those, the crowd that was following him around. And he was talking to them about another group, the Pharisees and the scribes. Why would he do that? Well, so that these wolves in sheep's clothing would be unmasked, shown for what they really are, and would no longer be able to be ministers of righteousness when they were actually ministers of Satan. Secondly, he did it so that we who claim to follow him will not be taken in by these people, will not be deceived by them. Also, he did this so that we will not be infected with their hypocrisy. When we see someone putting on a show of religion and are impressed by it, we're tempted to do the same thing. And the Lord warns us away from that. We can examine ourselves and maybe discover how much of us is phony. For you see, there's none of us who are perfectly sincere. And so let us note these hallmarks of a phony religionist in order that we may protect ourselves from these phonies, but even more importantly, that we may be certain that we're not one of them. Now, the first thing the Lord mentions as a hallmark of the phonies is a love and abuse of authority. Listen to what the Lord says in the first few verses. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Now, if you read that, it may sound like the Lord is saying these Pharisees and scribes, they sit in a rightful place on Moses' seat. So you got to do what they say. Now, that's not what the Lord is saying. I don't believe it is anyway. Rather, he is saying to them, these Pharisees and these experts in the law have usurped Moses' seat. That is, they sat in a seat to which they had no right. They claimed to be the disciples of Moses, but Moses wrote of Christ, and they won't acknowledge Christ. They usurped Moses' seat, claiming his authority, and telling you that you must do what they say. In other words, it's as though they said, we sit in Moses' seat, so you must do what we say. Well, the fact is, they didn't sit in Moses' seat. Only Moses sat in Moses' seat. He was the one by whom God gave the law, and no one has the right to claim that kind of authority anymore. It is written in scriptures for us. God has put no one over us in that same capacity. Oh, how men love authority. They love to rule others. I've heard people say things like, men have within their heart the desire to be free. That's not the total truth. What men want is a desire to be king. They want to control everything. And one of the ways that is easy to control people is through religion. And so men who love authority, who want to grasp power, one of their avenues of grasping power is to become religious authorities. How many of you get nervous around the preacher? How many live in anxiety over some scheduled visit by the elders? You're worried about what they might find out about you. You're worried about what they might see in your house. Now, why is that? You know, no child of God should ever be afraid of any of the ministers of God. For the ministers of God have been sent with this task, comfort ye my people. The Lord never sends his ministers to terrorize his people, to put them under the bondage of fear. When did God ever give to any man the right to hold others in such bondage? How often have I had people see me approaching them and say, uh-oh, I better straighten up. Here's the preacher. What do you mean? I'm no more than any other man. I have been given a job by God to open the scriptures and to preach from them. But God has not made me an authority over anyone. I don't sit in Moses' seat. I certainly don't sit in the Lord's seat. I'm a preacher. And that's as far as it goes. And no one should ever feel uneasy around me as though I am some kind of authority over them and have power to make their lives good or bad. That I have power to condemn or to justify them. Have nothing to do with these religious people who attempt to control your life by fear and intimidation. Fear and intimidation have no part. Did you hear that? No part in the gospel. This is something you will discover about these people. They are never as good as they expect you to be. That's why the Lord says they don't practice what they preach. They are always about burdening, but never about helping. The Lord says they tie burdens on the people. And the picture there is the way they would load a beast of burden. They would take small packages and one by one set them on the beast and tie them together to hold them there. And so each burden that was laid on that beast was easy enough to bear, but by the time you had loaded several of them on there and tied them together, it was a horrible burden. And these religious people, they'll say, well, it's not so bad if we tell you that you can't do this on such and such a day, or you must do this on... These are light burdens. Well, each one of them may be a light burden, but by the time they're done adding them all together, you are borne down beyond your ability to bear them. And you know something? They won't keep them. They will find loopholes for themselves. They'll say, you must be generous, and you must give a certain percentage of your money to the church. But they themselves will find ways around giving that much. They say you must be humble, but they will carry themselves in pride. Faithful gospel preachers will burden you with the full weight of God's law. But when they're done, when they're done burdening you like that, they will show you how you can be relieved of that burden through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doing and dying of the Savior. We don't tie together burdens. We merely take that one great burden of the law and we point out to sinners that they are under the burden and curse of that law. unless and until they call upon the name of the Lord. And through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that burden rolls away. And here's another hallmark then of these phonies. Their works are for other people to see. In verse 5 we read this, everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have men call them rabbi. The general rule is this, the more you can see of a man's religion on the outside, the less likely there is on the inside. And I'm talking about overt demonstrations of their religions. They wear clothes that identify them as especially religious. They'll carry the biggest Bible they can find and make sure you see them reading it. They'll always be sure to make a big show of their prayers at the restaurant when they give God thanks for their food. Now don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with giving God thanks for food in a restaurant. But if you make a big display of it, that's abominable. Such people, these phony religionists, they love to be recognized as the top of the religious pile. They wear easily identifiable robes and collars and large crosses. They talk with a specific tone or accent that's supposed to mark them out as someone who is especially pious and devoted and spiritual. To love titles like Reverend or Doctor, Your Grace, His Holiness, that sort of thing. They love that, and it's horrible. Our Lord said, don't take titles. I don't even like to be called pastor, to be honest with you. I don't make a big deal about it. But the word pastor means shepherd, and the Bible says the Lord is your shepherd. I have a job to do. I've been given a task, and that is to operate as an under-shepherd of God's people, under that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have nothing to do with those who parade their devotion for God and make big displays of just how religious they are. Not even our Lord stood out among the crowd. If you saw a crowd of people, you wouldn't have been able to figure out which one was the Lord. So much did he look like everyone else that when they were going to arrest him, they had to hire a traitor to point him out. He wasn't wearing special clothes. He evidently had only one set of clothes. He didn't have one set of clothes for traveling and another for preaching. He didn't get especially dressed up when he went to temple. Why? Wasn't necessary. He wasn't putting on that kind of show. These phony religionists shut up the kingdom of heaven and will not themselves go in. They refuse the gospel of grace and give no one else freedom to enter by that grace. They set every obstacle that they can in the way of simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll tell you, well, yes, you must, salvation's by grace and through faith, but you've got to have this experience. You've got to go through a certain time of mourning over your sin, or you have to involve yourself in this ceremony of the church or that ceremony of the church or do some good works. These people don't know what grace is. Therefore, they themselves cannot enter by grace, and they will oppose you if you say something like, I simply believe the gospel and believe that I've been saved by it. There are more hallmarks of phony religion that our Lord gives in this passage, but we're out of time. Examine yourselves. Do you love authority over others? And the ones you're following, do they intimidate you? Do they rule you by intimidation and fear? If so, you need to go somewhere else, because that's phony religion. Are you one who loves to display your religion and let everybody know that you're a Christian? You need to quit that. You need to quit making big displays. Simply worship God. Well, God give us all grace to worship Him in spirit, that is from our hearts, and in truth, that is sincerity. The grace of the Lord be with you.